most of us, well, most of us aren't really thrill seekers. Most of us don't go bungee jumping or parachuting or rocketing around a racetrack at 150 miles an hour. And so most of us, well, we like things to be safe and predictable. Yeah, safe and predictable is really good. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at your life from a different perspective. It's true, isn't it? We like things to be safe and predictable. I mean, we're happy to get our thrills by watching movies and television shows. You know, the suspense drama. Will the hero live or will he die? Will the heroine survive? Let them take all the risks. We call that entertainment. A bit of nail-biting, edge-of-your-seat drama. Well, it's good fun. As long as it happens on the screen and not in my life, right? But our lives, my life, your life, we definitely, definitely want that to be safe and predictable. Not boring necessarily. We don't mind being stretched a little bit sometimes, but safe and predictable is good. Let me give you a few examples just so you get my point. Mum and Dad bring a small child into the world. What you love is when Bubs has the same sleep patterns every day. That way you can get in sync and get a bit of rest too. But as things happen, sleep patterns change. They get disrupted. And so you walk around bleary-eyed. You were hoping for predictable, but what you got was unpredictable. And before Junior starts walking, you child-proof your home, right? You move all the precious ornaments up high where they can't be reached and damaged. If you have stairs, you buy one of those kiddie gates to put at the top of the stairs so the Junior doesn't fall down. But still, your little darling manages to get in trouble and hurt himself. Two simple examples of how you try and make your world safe and predictable. Now, there's nothing wrong with either of those, but we are programmed to aim for safe and predictable. We like routines. We don't like surprises. We don't like risks. Compare full-time employment to casual employment. Most of us would much rather have a full-time job because why? Yeah, you guessed it. It's safe and predictable. A regular income coming in each and every month. You can plan your budget, your costs, your expenses, and everything is just fine, right? Until you get sick. Until you have 2 months off work. Until your sick leave runs out, which is why so many people these days carry income protection insurance. Now, why am I carrying on about this? Simply to make the point that we arrange our whole lives to create a comfort zone around us. Almost everything we do is designed to make our lives safe and predictable. The problem is, Jesus is anything but safe and predictable. He was wild and untamed. The religious leaders of the day tried to rein him in, but he kept on going out there and breaking the rules, healing people on the Sabbath, hanging around with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, touching lepers, and by and large, upsetting the safe and predictable and lucrative lifestyles of the rich and the famous, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it was this very clash between the unpredictable, unconventional, radical, subversive Jesus and the comfort zones of the religious establishment that ultimately got Jesus crucified. This was the very reason they plotted to have him killed. My point being that safe and predictable on the one hand and Jesus on the other are a bit like oil and water. They don't mix, they never have, and they never will. Sometimes we read stories in the Bible so often that they just seem mundane, routine. We don't think too much about them anymore. But time and time again, God calls men and women out of their comfort zones to follow him on a risky venture. Here are just a few quick examples. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name to be great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. And the point is that Abraham was really wealthy and very comfortable. He was also 75 years old and childless. And yet God calls him out of this comfortable, out of this safe and predictable existence where all the buses and the trains ran on time on a long, arduous journey towards the absolutely impossible. Abram and Sarah were old and childless, yet God promises to make them the parents of a great nation. To Abram's credit, he went just as the Lord had told him. Then there's King Jehoshaphat. A mighty army comes against him. The odds are overwhelming. He is absolutely petrified. But he seeks the Lord, and a prophet is raised up and speaks. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 15 to 20. The prophet said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will come up the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. This battle is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Then Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face on the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Do you notice what God told the king to do? To leave the city, to leave the apparent safety behind the defenses that you've built, and go out in the open and stand there against this great and mighty army. Get out of your comfort zone and just stand there and wait for God to fight on your behalf. Sensational! See, it's so easy to read that story and think to yourself, well, that's great, God did it all. They didn't have to do anything. Well, God did do it all in the end, if you read on. But Jehoshaphat and his army still had to leave their comfort zone and put themselves in absolute mortal danger out in the open. And again, Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. I mean, these young fellows were fishermen. Fishing was their business, their living. They got up early every morning, went out and hauled in the catch and sold it at the markets and made a good, solid living out of fishing, safe and predictable. Now this Jesus comes along, sweeps them all up, and calls them to leave their safe, comfortable, predictable lives to follow him. Where? Well, who knows? Do you see a pattern emerging here? They're just three examples, but you see it over and over and over again throughout the Bible. God calling people out of their comfort zones into the risky business of following Jesus. God's mightiest works don't happen in our comfort zones. When God called me out of my nice, safe, predictable, and let me say, rather lucrative IT consulting career into this ministry of Christianity Works, the ministry was pretty much dead. No radio programs, no donors, no income. The last one out, turn out the lights. Pretty much terminal, you'd have to say. But that was the call. And the reason I followed is that I didn't want to die wondering. Well, what if I'd followed God's call that day? How would it have turned out? I didn't want to get to the end of my life and look back on a string of missed opportunities. I didn't want to look back on a wasted life. Let me tell you something. Safe and predictable has derailed many a plan that God has had for his people, and it will continue to do so. So when Jesus calls you to what he's calling you to, will you go? Please, whatever you do, don't waste your life. Don't get to the end of your life only to look back on a series of missed opportunities. To help you make your life count, you can listen to each of the messages in this series again right now online at ChristianityWorks.com. Just click on the A Different Perspective icon at the bottom of the homepage and you'll see them all right there. You can stream the messages online, download the audio or the transcript, even subscribe to the podcast. And while you're there, check out the treasure trove of free resources like the Christianity Works Daily E-Devotional, words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to your inbox on your smartphone, your tablet or your computer each weekday. See, it's all about helping you live out each and every day in the victory that Jesus came to give you. And like everything else on the site, the E-Devotional is completely free. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Remember, don't let safe and predictable, don't let your comfort zone rob you of the call of God on your life. Because if you do, one day you'll be waking up and looking back at a wasted life. Hey, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.